Today's mailbag is from Vanessa. Hello, Organized 365 team. I just finished watching the last Friday Workbox planning day, and I want to thank you for focusing on the green slash pockets. I always felt a bit lost when it came to green, and now all of those pieces fell into place. I direct an academic center at a university with a staff of two, myself included, so I am in the pink and green a lot. It was so valuable to hear from both Lisa and Stephanie. Thank you.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Well, I think it's appropriate that I'm recording this podcast about not being at home when I'm not at home. You know, there are a lot of different seasons of our lives in which we will need to be organized or in which our organization will need to change for these seasons in our lives. And often when you think about, you know, how your home changes for different seasons in your life, if you have children, your house will be different when your children are under the age of five, when they're elementary age, middle school age, high school age, when you become an empty nester. And even if you are not blessed or don't choose to have children, your home will function differently in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. It just will. And I know that I have talked about this a lot. And for a lot of people, when I first bring this up, they've never thought about it before. Like, you just think about your house as your house. Like, your house has a bedroom, it has a closet, it has a kitchen, it has where you park your car or get your transportation in the morning. And you kind of think like all dwellings are the same. I mean, obviously there are big farmhouses and, you know, efficiencies inside of apartments in an inner city. But other than that, you're like, a house is a house is a house, right? And we've talked a lot about how that's not actually true. Like, especially if you live in your childhood home or you buy or rent a house when you first leave your childhood home, you could stay in that home for decades. But that house will change in how it functions based on you and your family makeup and your age and just in the economics that you have from decade to decade. And there are a lot of variables that change how you use your house. And last week I talked to you about what happens when you have multi-generational living, like more than two generations, when you have three or four generations living in the same house. And some of the solutions I've seen people do or things that I've been doing in order to have that be better organizationally and just in functioning in life. And in the next two podcasts, I want to continue on that vein and just kind of talk about what happens when you want to get your house organized and yet you are never home? And that's exactly what my life was like when I started Organized 365 in 2012. Part of why I had gotten so disorganized was because I was never home. Like, I knew how to get organized. I just didn't have any time at home. And when I was home, I was too tired and there were too many other pressing and urgent obligations requiring my time that I could not spend them on, like, I don't know, cleaning out my storage room. And these seasons of life where we have too many actionable to-dos that are urgent and important, and we don't have enough time at home, hit you at different phases of life in different family dynamics. So here are a couple of them that may be coming to a theater near you in your future. One is when your children are primarily in middle school and high school, but not yet driving. And as a parent, you go through these phases of organization or time at home. And I was not working outside of the home, so that's part of why my phases will be like the way I'm going to explain to you. Under the age of 5, you are really in control of your kids' time. And if you are a stay-at-home parent or if you work from home, you can literally spend a whole week and never leave your house because you're in charge of their entire schedule. And so you have a lot of time at home when your kids are under the age of 5 if you're not working away from home. But those children need constant monitoring supervision, and it's exhausting. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It is the same thing every day, like Groundhog Day, and also extremely exhausting. And then you have the elementary years, which are like the golden years, where kids go to school or you homeschool and they're good at helping with chores, and it's just great. You're still kind of in control of their schedule. Everyone does like one activity. It's just a really nice balance time. And then middle school comes, and it's like you got hit with a freight train, because all of your kids have different goals, aspirations, talents, abilities, opportunities for socialization and academic improvement and exploring their sporting ability and just all these amazing opportunities. Think back to your middle school and high school years. I was told I could do one activity, but by the time I got to high school, I usually did a couple, like, because everything kind of overlaps. So if you're only gonna do sports, you can't also do the play, and you can't stay after for extra help in math. Like, it just kind of happens that your life just gets more complex, like from the age of 12 to 18. But you can't drive yet. And even if you can drive, like, the economics of your family may not afford an extra car for you to drive yourself where you want to go. So that 12 to 18 year old time frame for a child, they are becoming the future adult that they will be and exploring all the opportunities and possibilities that are available to them. But the parents are the chauffeur. And I will say, you know, Uber was new when my kids were in middle school and high school. And I did toy with the idea of having Uber drive them to a couple of things they needed to go to, only for a hot second, because I thought, well, maybe that wouldn't be safe. And also the economics, our family couldn't afford it. Otherwise, I might have thought of it more seriously. I did at one point hire a babysitter to drive my kids for 1 hour a day when I had a season where I literally couldn't be in two places at one time. And that's what happens when your kids are in middle school and high school, especially if you have more than one and you want to do anything other than eat and sleep. You find yourself literally double or triple booked, and you don't know how you're going to get everyone where they need to be. It's a long season, but a short season at the same time. Like, by the time you realize you're in this complex season, you're towards the end of it, and there really is nowhere way out but you. Like, you are the only way out of this season. You just have to kind of live through it. And then you end up as an empty nester. Now, there are two other seasons where you will end up in your car more than you are at home, but wanting to do more at home. One of those is when you have more than one job or a very intense away from the house job. So I think back to, I have a couple of cousins who got accounting degrees. And for both of them, after they graduated from college, they went into what I call the hazing program. Maybe they called it that as well. But they both went to work for different of the big four accounting firms. And basically, they worked like, I mean, I'm not even joking, 80 to 100 hours a week. It was insane. I was in my 20s or 30s when they did this, probably in my 30s. And I just kept running the math. I could not figure out how they were still functioning as humans with the literal clock hours that they were clocking and how far away they lived from the locations. And I tried to solve this for them by coming up with solutions. And in one case, I said to my one cousin, I was like, you just have to get a hotel room. Like, you have to get, it's mandatory. You must get a hotel room one or two nights a week. And she ended up doing it because there was literally, it was unsafe for her to be driving home. And by the time she drove home, literally, she just had to turn. She only had 6 hours between when she left the office and came back to the office. And I think she lived like 30 or 45 minutes away. I'm like, this is insanity. You're just going to have to get the closest hotel room to your office, somehow get there, sleep, and then get back. Like, I don't know. I've never had to live through that. Or for some people, it takes two jobs in order to make the money work. And so you're literally working two 40-hour week jobs. You see what I'm saying? Like, and then there's commuting time and sleepy time. And they're just literally, you're either working for pay or you're sleeping. And that's it. Like, that's all you have the ability to do right now. And that also is a season. It can feel like a season that is never going to end, but all of these seasons do end. And if there's anything that you take away from this podcast, maybe it would be that all of these seasons will end. So if we could just figure out how we can get through these seasons and take from these seasons the best that they have to offer, in addition to some of the limitations, then it will do well for all of us. The third season that I have experienced where I was not at home and my time was not my own time and I couldn't figure out how to get it all done, and this season lasted for me about a year and a half, 2 years, was when my father became ill and I became power of a healthcare, which then became power of attorney, which then became settling the estate, selling the family home. And that season of my father getting sick, passing away, settling the estate was a long season. He lived 3.5 hours away from our current home. And so a lot of that time was driving home, doing things with Emily, doing things with my dad, doing things with the estate. And they were away from home hours. And so what is the commonality of all of these is that you are not at home. There are seasons of life where you literally will just not be at home. And when you are not at home, it's impossible for you to clean out your kitchen or organize your storage room. Because when you are at home, there is so little of this at-home time that you must use it to take a shower, go to bed, do the laundry. Like, the essentials of life become the only things that get done at home. And you feel like, and actually it is happening, your house is getting more and more out of control. And the other reason why I think that we want to, like, do a deep cleaning organizing project at home when we are not at home is because also an organizing project gives you control. Like, it gives you the ability to be in control of something, because you're not in control of your job, the kids' sporting events, the, you know, healthcare situation, or whoever you are the power of healthcare for. And as I'm thinking about my situation with power of healthcare, how I went home to where my dad was, some of you have actually changed your living situation and you are living in your parents' home, or your parents are living in your home and you are their full-time caregiver, just as people who are taking care of children under the age of 5 are. It becomes your primary number one responsibility. So in these seasons of life, how do we get more organized, stay organized, or feel like we have any kind of control over what is happening to us? And the first thing I want to talk about is your mode of transportation. So most of you in these situations will have a car, and that has been my experience as well. If you use public transportation, if you're in a city, I do not comprehend this kind of living, and I'm not a really good expert for that. I'm a suburb girl, and I've always had a car. So I'm going to talk about how I have personally used my vehicle as a portable home during these different seasons that I've been in. And having that frame of mind and thinking that way really helped me get some ownership and some clarity on how to be organized. So when my kids were in middle school, I had a minivan. And when my father was sick, I think I also had a minivan. I think I've always had a minivan. And now I have an SUV. I can never go back to a sedan where you're driving right down on the road like I used to. Like, I love being up high when I'm driving. But whatever kind of car you have, if you have a car, I want you to start thinking about your car completely differently. I don't want you to think about it as in, like, this is how I get from point A to point B. I want you to actually think about it as an extension of your home. And when we talked about, or when I defined the different areas of our house that we get organized, personal organization, family organization, storage organization, and paper organization, I specifically talked about personal organization, including your car, because it is in your control. Now, little side story. My father is a car guy. When I cleaned out the file cabinets at home, I did not find any financial paperwork. You should know that. But I did find many, many files of every single car he had ever owned and all of the cars he wanted to own in the future and all of my cars. Yeah, paperwork about all of my cars up at his house. My dad was just a car guy. And on Saturdays, he would hand wash and detail all of the cars. Like, he just loved it. He always loved cars as a kid. He just was always a car guy. My husband is not a car guy. A car is to get you from point A to point B. And I'm a quasi-car person. Like, I like cars. My dad had this game he would play at night that he could tell you the make he could tell you the model of any car by looking at the taillights. And so now I kind of play that game. Like, I know if it's a Honda Civic, like, there are certain cars that I know they're cars based on the taillights. And also, I could tell which model it is. Like, you know, over time, different manufacturers will change out what their taillights are. Yeah, I know. I told you it was a rabbit trail. Okay, bringing it back to present. So I have a special affinity for my automobile because, you know, my dad kind of raised me that way, as in, like, your car is an extension of you. Just in that, you know, you should be comfortable in it and you should like it and you should take care of it. Like, you take care of your bedroom, you should take care of your car, you should clean out your car every week. Don't worry, I don't. But, you know, I think about it every once in a while. I vacuum it when you could see the crumbs on the floor. Or when there's a rogue onion ring that has fallen between the seats. So that is my understanding of a car. But growing up, my dad always took care of the cars. My mom did not. And so I would always defer any car maintenance to my father because he loved it. And when we got married, I was more into the cars than Greg, and I would always defer our car maintenance to my husband. He was, like, not into it. And my dad was so proactive with our cars that, like, if you breathed on the car wrong, he would get it fixed. Like, if there's a scratch on the car, we were taking it in and we're having the scratch buffed out of the car. I now know that this is not normal behavior. Like, that's like you're putting your car in a show, which my son, Joey, definitely wants to do. He does all of those things with his car. But Greg and I, you know, unless the mirror fell off when I backed out of the car, we let it, you know, stay there for a while before we get it fixed. Because the economics of keeping a car up is expensive. It's ridiculously expensive. Now, for whatever reason, I get a lot of flat tires, like a ridiculous amount. I don't know how to, I also drive a lot. Like, I've always driven a lot. I drive a lot. So I end up with a flat tire. And growing up, when our tire would get a nail in it, there was construction around our house, so we'd get a nail in it. You take it down the street, they take the tire, they put it in the water, you get a vat of water, and you put a tire in it, and you spin it around, and you could see where the hole is, and you could plug the hole. This is how old I am. And so we would take our car down all the time, and we'd have the hole plugged until you actually had to change the tire. And when I got married, they didn't do that anymore. Like, you couldn't go to the local guy that would just spin your tire into a vat of water. You took it to the Honda dealership. I had a Honda minivan. And so we would replace the tires. Well, that's expensive. And we didn't have a lot of money. And so Greg would say, we'll drive on it a little bit longer. And I'm getting to a point here. I drive the minivan. I was driving 25 hours a week with the kids. My husband drives 10 minutes to work and back each day. Like, that's the sum total of his driving every week. I am driving 25 hours a week during the work week. 5 hours a day I'm spending in the car, carting our children here, there, and everywhere, and starting my professional organization business. And I would say, I think the tire is going flat. I think I have a flat tire. And Greg would be like, let's just watch it. Well, you know what would happen, of course, is the next morning I would come out and the tire would be flat, right? Totally flat. And Greg would get in his car and he would go to work. And now I have a flat tire and I have 5 hours worth of driving to do with two children who are now not going to school in the morning because I have to get the tire changed or call AAA or whatever. After this happened a couple of times, I made a new rule for myself. And my new rule was, this is my car. And if I feel something needs to be done to my car, I'm going to take ownership of it and I'm just going to do it. So whenever I feel like my tire is going flat, I will go straight to the tire store. I will have the tire plugged or I will have the tire changed so that I can carry about my day. Because when the tire goes flat, it only affects me. It does not affect Greg. I just say that and I tell you that story because we all have a car story. Like, how you take care of your car is probably indicative to the car that you grew up with, how your parents took care of their cars, and if your spouse, if you have one, how you take care of each other's cars, and who gets to make the car maintenance decisions. My husband was making the car maintenance decisions because my father had made the car maintenance decisions, even though I was the one doing the family budget, and I knew how much money we had to spend or didn't have to spend. And also, when your tire is flat, that's when you get out the credit card, in my opinion. I think that part of our hashtag adulting is rewriting our stories for the seasons of life that we're in. And in organizing your house, I have helped you think about your house differently in different seasons of life but also as the pandemic happened and as your children age. And I want you to think about this season of life that you're in or someday may be in where you're not at home and you end up in your car. Your car is an extension of you, not as a status symbol, but as a, you know, it is your job to keep it maintained. It is your job to keep it clean. It is your job to fill it full of gas and get the oil changed and all of the things that are related to your car. So if it is part of your personal organization, now really take ownership of your car as an extension of your personal organization and apply it to whichever season of life you find yourself living out of it. And some of the things when I found myself living out of my car that I did when it was a minivan and I was a mom is I turned it into a house. And of course, you know me, I started calling things in my car different words so that I would really understand how much this was my portable house. So as I was driving this minivan, the tailgate section, I started calling our car closet. So this was my car closet. And as I was organizing the home and I organized the car, whenever I got to the back of the car, I'd be like, okay, this is my car closet. And in my car closet, it needed to do many things. It needed to be open enough that I could take donations to Goodwill. It had to be open enough that I could receive all of the groceries that I was going to get at the time. I was going to the store. Pickup was not available in 2012. But if you are doing a grocery pickup, it has to be big enough that you could put all the groceries in there. But also, I found myself out and about and our plans getting changed and me being too far away from home in order to have what I needed for my kids. So I started seasonally packing the back of my car like it was a closet. So in the fall, I would add fall jackets. And in the winter, I would add hats and gloves for all of the family members. And in the spring, I would add, you know, like boots and trash bags for when they got done with soccer practice and they were full of mud. And in the summer, I would add pool towels and swimsuits for everybody in case we spontaneously wanted to swim somewhere. And this really served me well. And personally, you know, when do you have the umbrella in the car? When do you add yourself an extra coat? Now I have a section at the office where I have an extra shirt. Like if I needed it to change my shirt at the office, I have an extra shirt. Like there just are times where you find out that you're going to need these things. So that's my car closet. I would even put like toys back there. On the weekends when I would go through my Sunday basket, this is when I'd be like, okay, here are all the extracurricular activities for the week. We have American Heritage Girls and we have soccer practice and we have, you know, whatever. And I would put everything I possibly could in the back of my car on Sunday so I didn't forget it and it was already there, even if the thing I didn't need it for was on Thursday. If I was a soccer mom bringing the juice boxes on Thursday, they were in the back of my car on Sunday. Like everything was there. When I became a professional organizer, I added in a bag that I used for professional organization, like that had a screwdriver and Windex and paper towels and trash bags and just all the things that I would need on an organization job. Now, in the front of the car where I was sitting, I kind of created like a little cockpit situation. Like I'm the pilot and I need to be able to touch all of these things while I am driving so we could just keep on our path. And over to the left, when you're driving to the left, you usually have a pocket in the door that you could put things in. So I'm driving right now. And in mine is always a couple bottles of water. I have an umbrella there. I have one of those Austin Fowler bags that has some of the different protein bars that I have right now. That wasn't sufficient when I had kids. But at this age, that's what I have in there. I also have in there, you're going to laugh, I have doggy doo-doo bags. You know those little tiny bags that you get that come on a roll that you can pick up dog doo-doo with? I have those in my car. And the reason I have those in my car is because they're awesome little trash bags. So I could pull one of those out if I'm traveling, like right now I'm traveling, or even when I was doing carpool, I would pull one of those out at the end of the day, put all the trash in it. When you get home, that's ready to go right in the trash bag. And this is part of what I want you to think about. What are the things that when you get to the house, and you are done driving, and you're actually home for the millisecond that you're going to be there, that you need to do something. Like, you need to take the trash out of your car if you're living in it. And if you don't have little trash bags, then you're like, okay, I'm going to try to grab all these things in my hand. Oh, I don't have enough hands. I'll just take 80% of the trash inside and throw it away. but then you left your purse in the car, whatever. Like, you don't have enough hands. So if you can have little tiny trash bags that don't take up a lot of space, and what I would do is when I get closer to home, I'd get the little trash bag out, and every stoplight I'd stop at, I'd keep filling up the little trash bag. By the time I got home, the trash bag's ready to go right in the trash, only takes one hand, and it's quicker. This is where you can shave off those milliseconds in the car before you get home to maximize the very few minutes that you have at home to do something else. Okay, so when I was driving the minivan, I literally had, though, a small trash can. If you have a minivan and you don't have a small trash can, run, don't walk, to the local Target, Walmart, wherever you go, and buy one for less than $10 and put it in your car. It will revolutionize your life. There's so much trash that gets generated in a minivan, there definitely should be a trash can. I also had a full box of tissues. I still have that. And I had like a whole snack bag, a whole like big lunch bag full of all kinds of snacks, chips, protein bars, all kinds. Any of the snacks that you give your kids when you're sitting on the sidelines of a soccer game, those should be in a snack bag and they should be in your car. Cheese crackers with peanut butter, those are great. Also, anything that you can give yourself or your kids that will help you avoid going through another fast food place so that you can get home an hour later and eat from home will really save your wallet. Entertainment is another thing that I had in the car when my kids were little. And also on long trips like this, when I'm traveling, I will have entertainment for myself. So audiobooks, I still think DVD players with the actual DVDs work really well in cars with kids. They like that. Video games, definitely any extra chargers, any extra battery chargers, the outlet that you plug in to charge your phone into the what used to be a cigarette lighter in cars. But also, you can get generators. So in your car, in that cigarette holder, you can get little generators that you could plug in there that actually become actual outlets in your car. So you can charge your laptop. We used it to run a breathing machine for Joey so he could have his breathing treatments in the car when we're traveling. Like, really let your mind expand. What are the things that you're waiting to do until you get home that if you're in your car a lot, you could actually do in your car? So if your computer battery only lasts 4 hours, and when you get home, you forget to plug it in, the next day you're without a computer, start charging your computer in the car when you're driving around. Charge your backup battery power thing for your backpack or your purse in the car when you're driving around. Like, we also have another pouch that is full of all of the medicinal things that you would need. I have an inhaler, I have cough drops, I have allergy medicine, we have an EpiPen for Grayson. Like, all of those things that you would have at home, we have in the car, because you may be carrying those around in your purse or your backpack. And if you're like off and you need it, that's great. But usually I don't need my inhaler very often, if ever. And I just use an over-the-counter one now. I don't even have a prescription one anymore. So I don't carry it in my purse, but I do have one packed in my travel suitcase when I travel, and I do have one in my car. And so if I ever need it, it's there, and it's never an emergency. I don't need it sooner than that. So these are some ways that you can actually pack your car so that it is ready to go. Now, if you're in one of these seasons of life where you just flat out don't have time, how do you get more organized other than what I've explained in the car? And that's what I want to talk to you about next. So there are a couple of things that you can do that will help you move forward on your organizing goals. The first one is you just need to call a spade a spade. Like, you are in a season of life where you're not home very much. So the idea of organizing your entire house, even if you listen to the whole Organize 365 podcast in the last 3 months because you've been in the car that much, does not mean that you now magically are going to have the time when you get home in order to implement that. But you are changing your thought patterns and you are changing your brain. So when you do get the time eventually, it will go so much faster. So this is not wasted time. Don't worry about being frustrated about that. It will happen. Also, because if you're listening to a podcast like this and you're trying to work on something like organizing your house, when you do get 15, 30 minutes or an hour at home, you will really get multiple hours worth of work done because you are so prepared. You are so ready. You've already processed through a lot of the decision making that you would do in real time in advance. And that's what I did when I spent these couple of seasons in my car for years at a time. I started using that driving time as time to really make all of the mental decisions proactively. So I would make rules for myself, because this is not the season when you're going to clean out your storage room. But you may start to make rules for yourself, like, no, we no longer keep any of the boxes that things come in. So whenever I do get a chance to go down to the storage room, I'm just getting rid of all of the empty boxes because we're not going to use those anymore. Or I no longer keep clothes that I don't fit in because the styles have changed so much. I'm just going to go ahead and donate those. Or we're not going to adopt any more children, so I'm going to get rid of all of my adoption paperwork and all of my adoption books because I'm not doing that again. Or I made the decision that I wasn't going to go back to teaching, and then I just got rid of the whole bookshelf worth of things. So there are mental decisions you could be making while you're driving or away from home that then when you get home and you actually get a chance to be in those spaces to do the decluttering and do the organizing, the mental part of the decision has already been made and the physicalness of the getting organized will go so much faster. The areas in which you will want to focus on, or I would encourage you to focus on when you do get some time at home, would be first your personal organization. Now, there's a lot of organization you could do in your car in the first couple of weeks once you start thinking this way and really get your car 100% organized and just the way that you want it. Then extend that to your bathroom and to your closet and to your side of the bedroom, because you are still showering, you are still brushing your teeth, and you are still sleeping. And while you have very, very little time, as you're driving home and you're thinking through your evening routine, you could be thinking, you know what? Every night I do these two steps and they're in these two different locations, and tonight I'm going to move them so that both of those things are together. Or I'm just going to grab an empty Amazon box because I'm ordering everything that way now, and I'm literally going to put everything that I use in the morning in that box all week long. So then on the weekend, everything that is not in that box, I know can probably be decluttered. And then when I'm out or when I'm, you know, sitting at a ball game, I'm going to go on the Target app and I'm going to find a container that I want for the amount of stuff that I have that I get ready with in the morning. So those are ways in which you can chunk your organizing when you're not at home, making all of the mental decisions and the planning away from home, doing the organizing or the decluttering or the separating quickly at home, and then processing through those piles that you created on the go. And if you're not a visual person like me, like I literally would be able to see everything I put in that Amazon box because I'm just that way, take a picture of it. Like literally take a picture of it. And then when you want to go scroll Instagram, just look at that photo each time and go, okay, do I need all of those things? Okay, I have this many large things, this many small things. Or here's another thing. Put the box in the car. It's portable. I know it's not normal, but you're not listening to me for normal. Take the box of bathroom stuff to Target and go to the organizer section. Put your stuff in the organizers, pick the one you want, take it to the checkout and leave. Now you don't even have to return the organizer. I mean, this is not typical thinking, but it will get that bathroom section organized. And if you can get your car organized in a week or two, and then you get your bathroom organized in a week or two, when you literally are never home, you are going to majorly feel like a boss. Like, it's awesome. Any night when you have an extra 15 minutes, take 5 things out of your closet and donate them or trash them or whatever you need to do. Like, just slowly declutter. Like, just 15 minutes a week, I'm going to keep decluttering. You try on the pants, they don't fit, don't put them back in the closet, put them in the donating. Like, just don't. You don't have time for this. You don't have time to find out that those pants don't fit again 3 weeks from now. They still are not going to fit. You're not exercising, you're in the car. Like, I mean, your body shape is not going to change in 3 weeks so that those pants will now all of a sudden fit if you're not at home at all, right? So just, you can't do everything all at once. We just cannot do everything all at once. So personal organizing needs to be the number one priority because you are taking you with you everywhere. And the more you can make your bath time, your closet, and your bedtime routine, it will give you extra energy because you're not in your storage room. You're not in your family room. You're in your car. That's where you need to be organizing. The second thing that I did that maybe should have been the first thing you have to start writing every single thing down. Like, if you haven't started using index cards, use them now. Packs of index cards in your backpack, in your purse, in your car, by your nightstand, by your bathroom, in your closet. Everywhere you have a thought, you should have a place where you can write it down. And then your job is to just carry these index cards to wherever they need to go. If they can wait till Sunday, they go in the Sunday basket. If not, they come with you. Because when you're at stoplights or when you're pumping gas or when you're, you know, sitting on the ball field, or there are these teeny tiny pockets of time that you have away from home. They're just away from home. So your brain needs to be with you on these little index cards. That's what I have on this trip. I have to call Grayson's daycare. I have to call for the, there's this new doctor that doesn't know what the insurance is. So that's something I'm going to do on this drive. You know, there are things that you can do when you're not at home just as easily that you could do if you are home, but you have to remember you need to do it. That's number one. And then you have to have with you whatever you need. The bill that I need to get paid, I need to have that with me. I can't remember that. I know my insurance information. I don't know the bill information. So you need to have this stuff with you, which leads to the next thing. You definitely need a portable Sunday basket. So this is the time where you need a portable Sunday basket to actually be your Sunday basket. Because when you're in the car this much, you're getting all kinds of things in your car. Where are you going to put them? Where are you going to put them? Right? So you need it separate from your backpack or your purse, especially if you're in a minivan. This is a no-brainer. But even in an SUV, whatever you're in, like right now, I have a portable Sunday basket with me, which means that when you collect the mail, when you drive home, don't put it in your Sunday basket in the kitchen. Put it in your portable Sunday basket in your car. Because the next day, you can open and process that mail and at least reduce some of the bulk. And you're going to start chunking doing your Sunday basket. Wait, Lisa, what are you talking about? Yes, chunking doing your Sunday basket, meaning that you still need to have one time a week where you actually go through the big physical Sunday basket that's on your kitchen counter so that you don't miss things and so that you go through the things that used to be organized in your past season of life, like bill pay and things like that, menu planning. And you could pull those out and you put them in your portable Sunday basket. And then your portable Sunday basket, I mean, there were seasons where I would just take my Sunday basket into the waiting room at the doctor's office with me. Every doctor's office. And when we would sit down, you put your name in and then you sit down for the 15 minutes. And I would say to myself, what's one thing I could get done during these 15 minutes while my kids went over and played with the Legos or whatever it was. And I would call a person. I would write out a check to pay a bill. I would go through a handful of mail and I would throw it away right there at the doctor's office. Like, I'm not taking this trash in my car. And every time I got out of the car, I would take trash wherever I was. That would get thrown away wherever I was. Like, it's a constant triaging of your life because your life has so little extra buffer time. And you can get the important things done. You just are going to have to think differently about how you get them done. And then the last thing I would say in these phases of life, the number one thing that is going to make all the difference, I mean all of the difference, is planning. Because you are in an almost 100% reactive phase of life. And the only way to get any semblance of order and not to slip too far backwards is to be ruthless about what you say yes to and how you prepare for yourself and your family to survive this really crazy time of life. And you could survive and you could thrive. Like, a lot of times what you're doing in these seasons of life are, if you're working two jobs, is you are creating uniqueness and skill sets in you that will propel you forward for decades to come, but you got to put in the reps. Or you are investing your time today in your middle school and high school kids' lives, which may be a decade-long experience, but they are the memories that you will talk about for decades to come at holidays and family trips. Remember when we did blah, blah, blah. And you have to do it. Like, who else is going to do it? These kids can't get to their own practice themselves. But also, just don't worry about what everybody... Clearly, I never worry about what other people are thinking. So just pretend you're me for a little bit. If you're driving your kids to soccer practice and soccer games, Soccer practice and soccer games do not have the same weight unless you are the coach. In that case, think about another thing you go to where you're not the coach. Getting your kids to soccer practice does not mean you have to sit on the sidelines and watch soccer practice unless you used to play soccer and you love it, or your children want you to, or you love it. If you love it, great, do it. I don't. So I would take my kids to practice and I would sit in the car and I would get my Sunday basket done, or I would make my phone calls. And sometimes I would go in and sit at ballet practice, but often I wouldn't. And even like at dance practice, you were just sitting there in the waiting area with all the other adults while the kids are in a room that you can't even watch. Well, if you can't even watch the room, sit in your car, listen to a podcast, and go through your Sunday basket. Unless this is your time to socialize with other people. Like, you just have to make some decisions. You can't do it all. And you don't have to make one decision that is for everything. Like, you could say, okay, this week I am going to sit in my car for soccer practice, but socialize with the people in ballet practice, and I'm going to run an errand during football practice. You see what I'm saying? Like, you could choose different things. You don't have to sit in the little waiting room for adults all the time, and you don't have to sit in the car all the time. You could change your mind based on what you have to do, and then really utilize that time. Like, alone time in your car for 45 minutes is awesome. You could read a book. You could take a nap. I've done this many times. Take a nap in the car. It's great. So these seasons of life don't last forever. They feel like they're going to, and often we don't know when they're going to end. When your child gets their driver's license or goes off to college or their own hashtag adulting experience, that's when that one is going to end. I can tell you the answer to that one. If you're in a caregiving situation, you do not know how long you're going to be in that caregiving situation, but it's not going to be forever. It may feel like it's going to be forever, but it's not going to be forever. So I'll leave you with this one last thought. As I was traveling home to see my dad, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I think it bears repeating. As I was traveling home to see my dad each time, I would think to myself, what is one more memory that I want to have with my dad? What's one more question that I would love to have him answered? And he's been gone for over a decade now, and I'm so grateful that I had that perspective. And life is all about seasons and phases and perspective. So in this phase of life, if you find yourself never at home and always on the road or always somewhere else, what are the things or the thing that you are growing and developing in yourself, or the relationship that you are growing and developing or ending with someone else? And how do you want to do that? Like, what is one more memory you can make with your kids? What's one more memory you can make with your loved one? If you're working two jobs, what's one more experience that you can go all in on that you will add to your internal resume that will make you a better business owner or employee in the future, that is because you just doubled down and you did everything with 110% and you are a person of excellence? You can't do it perfectly. People are going to get disappointed. You won't do everything every week exactly how you want to, but you can be building the future life that you want to have and the future person that you're going to be. So do it all. Go all in. Do it all. And support yourself along the way. Get yourself organized first and bring your Sunday basket with you for the ride.